Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, today my guest is Tom Flowers. Tom spent 27 years in the Air Force, and he's been working with the Fisher House for the last few years, which is what he's here to talk to us about today. Tom, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, your background with the military, and the Fisher House?
Okay, Scott, and thank you for having me.
Of course.
I enlisted in the Air Force in 1966. And I retired in 1993, had many assignments, as you might imagine. I traveled all 50 states, and I stopped counting countries at about 40. that was my military career. After that, I joined a sales and marketing firm where our only customers were military installations. So I kept on my association with the military for another 10 years after I retired. And after that, I retired fully. And I joined the Fisher House Foundation, if you will, specifically associated with the Fisher House in West Haven, Connecticut. And that was in 2010. I'm also the immediate past commander of the American Legion for the state of Connecticut and our 18,000 members. And I'm the chairman of the Veterans Ceremony and Parade Commission for the city of Milford, Connecticut, where I live, city of 52,000 people. And we plan, execute all the patriotic events for the city of Milford and assist our veterans in any way that we need to. So that's what I do.
And that's all you do? I mean, sounds like you have your plate full with all of that that stuff that you're doing there. So, but anyway, today what we're going to talk about is the Fisher House. What I'd like to do is talk about how the Fisher House helps out veterans and the military families, and how it's a resource that they can rely on in their times of need. Obviously, with the COVID situation, things have been thrown off a little off course. But under normal circumstances, Fisher Houses they can house several families. I think I read on the Fisher House website up to 21 rooms in some of the Fisher Houses. And so at that point, to me, it doesn't seem like it's a house anymore at that point, in my mind anyway. It's more like a hotel at that point with the amount of families that could be in there. The benefit, though, is that these military and veteran families can stay free of charge. And so tell us what it is that the Fisher House offers to military and veteran families and what kind of resource it is.
Well, certainly. But first, Scott, I'd like to start with how the Fisher House started, which is a very interesting story. Sure. It started in 1986, when Mrs. Pauline Trost, who was the wife of the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral William Trost, she was at Bethesda Naval Hospital back in 1986. She saw a family get off of a helicopter She asked what they were doing. And they were there to visit the lady's husband, who was hospitalized. And Mrs. Trost asked her what or where she was going to stay. And she said she didn't know. And hotels are expensive in the Maryland area. So that kind of started it. She mentioned that to her husband, Admiral Trost. Admiral Trost contacted Zachary Fisher. Zachary was a developer, philanthropist, and patriot out of New York City, an independently wealthy man. And Admiral Trost mentioned to him what the issue was, and that began a public-private association where both the Department of Defense and the Veterans Administration, Department of Veterans Administration, came to an agreement that Fisher houses could be built on military installations with major medical facilities and on VA hospital campuses across the country and overseas. And Zachary, as a wealthy man and a patriot, funded the first 15 or so Fisher houses out of his own pocket. We opened up our first two Fisher houses in 1991, one at Walter Reed Army Hospital in Washington, D.C., and one at Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland. And for a number of years, Zachary just built those houses with permission of the host units or departments. In 1993, the Fisher Foundation was formed. And that was because we needed a vehicle to ensure that funding to build our Fisher houses would continue in perpetuity. So that was the beginning of the Fisher Foundation in 1993. And right now we have 87 Fisher houses that are active. And we have served over 400,000 military and veterans families, over 9.5 million days of free lodging, which translates to 500 million in savings to our military families and veterans families. And on any given night in our 87 Fisher houses, we're serving over 1,100 military families free of charge, totally. And you mentioned, Scott, that it was, you kind of maybe thought it was something like a hotel. Well, Fisher House is a comfort house.
Right.
We don't want, I mean, it, believe me, it does look like a 4 or 5 star hotel. I can tell you that. I can even give a tour of it if you'd like. But we consider it a comfort house, a home away from home.
Yeah, because the hotel aspect to me was just the sheer capacity. You know, you don't typically fit 21 rooms in any given house filled with, you know, families from all over the country and all over the place. You know, you don't typically have that kind of situation in a normal house. But the house, it is still a house in terms of, you know, there's like the shared, you know, the common areas, which are not typical in a hotel. You know, there's the kitchen and things like that are common in the Fisher House, the Fisher houses, that people can come together kind of more in a community atmosphere. And they can have that sense of, you know, togetherness, if you will, as they're staying, in that place. you know, which is, I think is great, you know, because there's so many people who might be going through difficult times, you know, their loved ones are, you know, sick or injured or whatever the case may be. And, you know, having some people there who maybe are going through something similar, you know, could help out, help each other out anyways.
Well, you're absolutely correct in your statement, Scott. We consider our Fisher houses to be comfort houses. We believe very firmly that a family's love is the best medicine. And I should say that our Fisher houses come in different sizes. We have them in 8 rooms, 12 rooms, 16 rooms, and in some cases, 21 rooms, as you mentioned. So they're not all the same size. It's all dependent upon the need at the installation, whether it be DOD or VA.
Right, and I'd imagine some of the larger facilities that these Fisher houses are at, you know, whether it's, you know, Walter Reed or something like that, those probably have the larger Fisher houses nearby, and some of the smaller installations throughout the country probably have the smaller 8 or 12 you know, room places too. So that makes sense. You know, that based on the need of the location would kind of justify the size of the house that comes through. And looking just directly from the Fisher House website, I looked up some of the statistics. You mentioned the daily capacity there, 1,100 families, which is amazing. But more than 32,000 families were served last year through Fisher Houses. You mentioned 400,000 families were served, you know, in total since it started. But even more interesting to me is you know, that, and all of those are really great numbers, and I'm very thankful that there's resources like a resource like the Fisher House out there that can help all of those families. But it's more than just that. There's scholarships. And also things like airline tickets that are provided to some of these families. 12,000 students have received $24 million in scholarships from the Fisher House Foundation. And over 70,000 airline tickets were provided by Hero Miles to service members and their families with an estimated cost of around $105 million, which, you know, is huge. You know, when your loved one is sick or injured, they're in the hospital and you need to travel across the country to get there. Figuring out how you're going to get there is probably the last thing on your mind. And so being able to have a program like the Hero Miles, you know, that's a big benefit as well.
Well, you've certainly done your homework, Scott, and thank you for that.
Yeah,
it's, by the way, absolutely. All this information. Yeah. All this information is available at fisherhouse.org. That's F-I-S-H-E-R, house, one word, .org. But yes, we have a Miles for Heroes program where people donate their frequent flyer or airline miles to that particular cause. And, you know, it's just common sense. If a veteran is hospitalized, at the Fisher House that I'm chairman of the board of, the community support group that I am chairman of the board, there's no reason to believe that the parents or the brothers or sisters or loved ones of that veteran that's hospitalized in West Haven, Connecticut, live in Connecticut.
Right.
And oftentimes when it's an emergency situation, a medical crisis, those people have to drop everything wherever they're at in the United States and get to Walter Reed or at Bethesda or Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, wherever they need to get you. So we have Hero Miles that we can provide, and they can have free transportation. We also have a hotel for Heroes program where people donate their frequent stay credits mm-hmm. to the Fisher Foundation. And if we run into a situation where a Fisher House is at capacity, for example, we can use those credits, hotel credits, and put folks up in hotels, local hotels, while they're visiting their loved ones who are hospitalized.
Yeah.
So yes, those are just all a number of programs that we have in place, all meant to serve our veteran and our active duty community as well as their family.
Yeah, and a couple of years ago, I got an email from one of the airlines that I fly on. I forget which one it was, but it said that some of my miles were coming up to expire, that I had the frequent flyer miles, and I had no trips planned. I had no place really to go. I wasn't going to use them, so I was like, I didn't want them to just go to waste either. So they had some options, what things that you can do with the miles. And one of them was the Hero Miles. And I decided to donate those miles to the Hero Miles, so that they could be used by someone, some family, to get to go see their loved ones. It just made sense to me that we would use those miles for something good, as opposed to just letting them go to waste. So, you know, if anyone else is out there and they have some frequent flyer miles, no trips coming up, and they know that they might be coming up on and expiring, you might as well, donate those to the Hero Miles program, so that some families can get to see their loved ones, and not have to worry about the cost of how to get there.
Well, thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now your current role with the Fisher House is you're involved more with the community support group. I believe you mentioned last time we spoke off air. Can you tell me what that's all about and what it is that you do with that?
Well, when we started, which was 2009, raising funds to build a Fisher House on the campus of the West Haven, Connecticut VA hospital. Our goal was to raise $3 million. At that time, the total cost of construction was $6 million. We agreed to raise $3 million, and the Fisher Foundation would kick in the other $3 million, and we would build a 16-room house. We started out, believe me, back in 2010, sitting in malls with tables, sitting in going to county fairs and any kind of event where we could set up a table, distribute literature, because at that time in Connecticut there were no Fisher Houses. If you asked anybody in Connecticut what's a Fisher House, they wouldn't know the answer.
They think it'd have something more to do with fishing than the military. Yeah.
And the reason I got involved in 2010 was when the then leader of our community support group came to my American Legion post and told the Fisher House story to enlighten our members on what a Fisher House was and what its purpose was. I was the only one in the room at my American Legion post at our general membership meeting that knew what a Fisher House was, because I had been in Fisher Houses when I had visited both Walter Reed and Bethesda previously with another charitable organization. So I volunteered to represent our post with the community support group. And next thing you know, I was an officer and second in command, and I did that. And I took over leadership in November of 2018. So we still continue to fundraise because we have to provide funding for the sustainment of the Fisher House. It's one thing to build it and furnish it and everything, but over the years, we have to sustain it.
I think so, anyone who owns a house can probably sympathize with that.
Right. Well, we have a list of what needs to be replaced, when it needs to be replaced, the bedding, the mattresses, you name the furniture, you name it. So we can do that. But anything that the Veterans Administration can't provide, we are the resource that the Fisher House goes to ask what we, you know, if we can provide that particular service or that product or whatever it might be to aid in the sustainment of the house. I mean, right now, our community support group is paying for the maintenance of the property, the mowing the lawn, taking care of the sprinkler system, you know, trimming the hedges, you name it. We pay for
right.
It,
right.
From the community support group because the VA didn't have the capability to do that. We also, when we opened up, we provided the Fisher House with over $20,000 in gift cards. Not everybody who comes to a Fisher House has time to do all of the preparations before they travel. So we have people showing up that don't have enough clothing or they need to buy food or whatever the case may be. So we have gift cards and we give those to our guests and they're welcome to use those to get whatever they may need to get. So yeah, we have there's definitely a need for our community support group. So also let me mention that when we build a Fisher House, we gift it. As soon as it's completed, we gift it to the military installation or the Veterans Affairs healthcare system where the hospital is located, and it belongs to them. And they staff it because we're in the building business. We're not in the human resource business.
Right.
So the employees, the manager of our Fisher House, is a VA employee, as well as the assistant manager at our receptions. That's our complement of employees.
And so, let's say you have a family who, you know, has a loved one who's unexpectedly in the hospital. They need to travel across the country and they need to find these arrangements. What's the process like for them to, I imagine in this case, it is somewhat like a hotel where you probably have to call ahead and find out if there's going to be a spot available that you can come to, as opposed to just knocking on the door and saying, "Hey, I'm here, give me a room," kind of thing. So what's that process like? What is it that the families need to do in order to be able to use the services of the Fisher House?
Well, the actual responsibility for providing the information on our Fisher Houses rests with the social workers and the medical personnel in the hospital. Okay. So if a veteran is, or an active duty member, whoever, is admitted to the hospital, they're briefed that a Fisher House exists and that their loved ones can come and stay at that Fisher House while the individual is undergoing that medical crisis. And then those folks, they have the resources to contact the Fisher Foundation or the manager of the Fisher House or even me. And we can get with the Fisher Foundation and we can arrange very quickly for plane tickets or whatever might be necessary for that family to visit the loved ones in the hospital. But the social worker are the primary resource.
Okay, yeah, and that's it's wonderful that that's not one more thing for the family to have to figure out. You know, it's not, now I have to go to Google and try to figure out how to get in touch with the Fisher House and make a, you know, see if they have a spot available for me and, you know, that type of thing. It's one of those things where it seems to me anyways, like it's a turnkey operation where everything is just being taken care of for the families and all they have to do is show up. Essentially,
that's exactly the way we want it to be.
Exactly, and that sounds like a wonderful way to do it too. One other thing I wanted to mention, where I rattle off some statistics about the Fisher House before, but one thing I failed to mention is how good the Fisher House is with the donations that they get in terms of the money that comes in. On the Fisher House website, it says 93% of each dollar that it directly helps the military, veterans, and their families. And so that means for every dollar that you donate, 93 cents of that is going directly to the families, to the military, the veterans. They're going to them. It's not going to overhead costs like a lot of other military charities and other charities tend to go to, advertising and promotions and salaries and that type of thing. It's really going into the program where you want the money to go to, which is, to me, a tremendous percentage of the money that's going into it.
Correct. The Fisher Foundation, which is located in Rockville, Maryland, very close to the Walter Reed National Medical Center at Bethesda, they have about 25 full-time employees. That's all. So that kind of accounts for administrative costs, if you will. But we draw donations from major corporations. The foundation does. That's where they get the money to build all these houses, in addition to the funds that are raised by the community support groups. The foundation has a partnership with Newman's Own, get funds from the combined federal campaign, just from all kinds of sources. Our veteran service organizations, especially from the community support group point of view, the money that I've been able to raise over a period of years, a great deal of that funding was provided by the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the Disabled American Veterans, and all the other veteran service organizations that totally understand the need for a Fisher House. So we received hundreds of thousands of dollars from those organizations, and they continue to contribute to this day.
And they're contributing more than just money too. When you said that they came in to talk to your American Legion post, they're recruiting members too to come in and volunteer their time to be able to help out with at the Fisher House, in the community support group, like what you're involved with and things like that as well. Which is I think a great thing, a great testament to the American Legion, VFW, and all these other organizations, how much those people really want to help out the military community through volunteering with the Fisher House.
Well, we have volunteers that are available to the Fisher House. They may not be members of the board of directors of our community support group. They're veterans, patriotic citizens. It could be a Rotary Club that Yep. comes in and says, okay, we're gonna have a picnic. Okay, we're gonna provide food and we're gonna come out a weekend and we're gonna have a picnic for all the folks that are staying at Fisher House. That kind of thing happens quite often. It's often American Legion Post, VFW Post that do that kind of thing. But other organizations, Chambers of Commerce, everybody kind of pitches in and does their thing. I might also mention, because you brought it up, the Fisher Foundation is the highest rated veterans charity in the United States. Only 1% of some over 2,000 charities as rated by Charity Navigator have received a 4-star rating for 14 consecutive years, and we are one.
Wow.
So when you said 93 cents, and that varies, it could be, you know, from year to year, it could be 93 cents, 95 cents, whatever the situation may be. But that earns us, and we protect it very, very judiciously.
We're all saving. And that makes you feel good too when you're donating. You know that your money is going to where you want it to go, to support the people and the organization the way you want it to, and not just lining somebody's pockets and, you know, big billboards and advertisements and things like that you know, some other organizations are doing. You know, it seems like that money kind of goes to some other causes that maybe you're not so supportive of.
Well, we don't advertise.
Yeah.
We do have a partnership with Third Channel Radio, and they do public service announcements for us, you know, from time to time. And we certainly got some attention on television news shows. Presidents have donated significant amounts of money to the Fisher Foundation. When Bill O'Reilly was on TV on Fox News, he donated all the proceeds from his selling books and coffee cups and tchotchkes, all that money went to the Fisher House. So we have some pretty big hitters. If you talk about the President of the United States, that's a pretty big hitter that donates to the Fisher House. Or the Fisher Foundation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and when you get that kind of publicity from, you know, bigger names like that, you know, it really helps. And those people too, they want to know that their money is going to the right place too. So when you have these numbers like 93%, 95%, whatever it is of each dollar going to the actual program itself, that's only going to encourage more people like those people that you mentioned to donate more, and also use their platform to help raise awareness for the organization and the foundation for all the good that it does, and use that platform to spread the word.
Well, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Because we always, every Fisher House that we built, with a possible exception of Texas or Florida, California, where we have multiple Fisher Houses. Here in Connecticut, nobody knew what Fisher House was when we started. So, awareness was a big part of what we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
We go into supermarkets and set up tables and generated a lot of dollars. In fact, ShopRite supermarkets here in Connecticut, actually in a 6-state region in the Northeast, a friend of mine owns 6 ShopRite supermarkets, and from Memorial Day to the 4th of July at 6 ShopRite supermarkets. I have volunteers come in 3 days a week, set up a table. Some people just drop a dollar or two into a bucket, but the cashiers ask if the folks want to make donations when they check out. And if they, I'll donate a dollar. So they actually ring that up on their grocery bill. And, from those 6 ShopRite stores, we generate almost $100,000 a year. So that's pretty important.
And that just goes to show that every dollar counts, because, if those volunteers were not there with those tables set up and the cashiers weren't asking the customers, to be able to support the organization, that $100,000 would not have been ending up in the Fisher House, the Fisher Foundation. And, that every dollar counts. So it's really a great thing.
We have to have volunteers in those supermarkets, because if that supermarket is raising funds for the local food bank, for example. Well, the customers don't need an explanation of what the local food bank is, but they right. certainly need an explanation of what a fish house is.
Yes, exactly. So
and those folks don't have volunteers in the stores. They just collect the money.
Sure.
Whether it be the food bank or the Boys and Girls Club or whatever it might be. But we have volunteers in the stores explaining to the customers when they engage us as to exactly what a Fisher House is and where their money is going to. And when somebody drops a dollar in a jar or something like that, I stop. And I said, don't you want to know where your dollar is going? And I explain it to them.
Yeah, no, and that's
sports group.
Yeah, that's a great thing too, and I think you know for anybody who might be you know interested in the Fisher House and what it does, you know whether or not they can contribute financially to the Fisher House, there's probably always a need for volunteers, and so you know that's just one way that you can give back and help out the Fisher House. And all the military and veteran families who are you know using the resource that's available, you know that's another way that you can give back, you know and help others really and provide that service to others by being a volunteer that way.
Well, that's true. Another thing I would want to mention is one of the great things about Fisher House is when our guests assemble and stay at our Fisher houses, they all have something in common. All of them have a loved one that's going through a medical crisis. So they have that support group that's right there with them while they stay at a Fisher house. We had one gentleman that stayed at a Fisher house for 2 years consecutively. Wow. There's no length of time that somebody can stay in a Fisher House. They can stay as long as they need you. So that camaraderie, that sense of being surrounded by folks who feel the same as you do is very, very important. We find that our families that stay there for even just for 3, 4, 5 days, whatever, they form a bond between them and they stay in touch, communicate with each other. I might mention that we have a home, what we call the home for our fallen heroes at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. I'm sure you and your viewers know that when folks pay the ultimate sacrifice, those remains get shipped into Dover Air Force Base where they're processed and then ultimately shipped to wherever the family wants the remains shipped to. Mm-hmm. But there is no major medical facility at Dover Air Force Base. That's strictly for the folks that are being transported with full military honors back to Dover Air Force Base. And that becomes a central location where the casualty assistance folks, the chaplains, the grief counselors, the Social Security Administration, you name it, they can all come and they can meet with the families of the lost loved one and take care of the business that needs to be taken care of and do it in a very efficient and a very caring fashion.
Yeah, and well, I do have personal experience with a loved one going through Dover. Our family did not go down to Dover when my brother was brought back from Afghanistan. We didn't go down there, but I can say with absolute certainty that all of the process that has to take place, all the people that you have to talk to, and the paperwork that is done and all that kind of stuff is done with the absolute most care and concern for the family, and And I can only imagine that the same thing is done down in Dover when the families go down there. And it's really a comfort that you don't have to, you know, in that time of grief and the loss and everything, you don't have to worry about all of these little details that, you know, that just come up, you know, through this whole process. A lot of it is just being taken care of for you, and they walk you through everything. You know, the decisions that you have to make are, you know, pretty simple decisions, and it's not a overly burdensome process. And so they do a great job with that. So that's a great service as well. Speaking from you know, personal experience.
Well, Scott, when your brother Stephen paid the ultimate sacrifice, the Dover Fisher House had not yet been built. It was built in the mid-2000s. So that's the reason that your mom and dad didn't go to Dover.
Right, yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, we had the opportunity to go. It, you know, we would have, you know, in that situation, we probably would have had to figure out lodging and things like that on our own.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it, but it's a great benefit to have for those families who maybe don't want to have to figure that type of stuff out and still want to travel there to, you know, receive their loved one, you know, when they come in. So anyways, Tom, time flies when we have these conversations, but it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I know you briefly spoke earlier about the Fisher House website. Where can people go to find out more about the Fisher House? I know their website. Do they have other you know, places that people can go to find out more about the Fisher House?
Well, there's a website for virtually every Fisher House.
Okay.
So it, you know, if your viewers or listeners, if they want to know something about a Fisher House near where they live, you can just Google Fisher House St. Louis or whatever the case may be, and learn about the Fisher House. Or you go to the main website for the fisherhouse.org, which I mentioned. That's a very extensive website that has a lot of great information. And it also lists where all of our Fisher Houses are located. So all right. That information can be at fisherhouse.org. Easy.
Yeah, and right at the top of the website, they have the three probably most common things that you might want to look for, how to donate, the locations, and how to help fundraise for the Fisher House. So those are all right up at the top of the website on fisherhouse.org. So anyone who's looking to donate, find out locations that are near you to help maybe even volunteer with those locations and help support them in that way. Or if you're in need of a Fisher House and you want to know whether or not the installation that your loved one is at has a Fisher House nearby, you can find that there. And you can also help, you know, fundraise for the Fisher House as well. So Tom, thank you again, for joining us. It's been a pleasure. We look forward to, you know, hearing more about the Fisher House in the future.
Thank you so much for having me on and talking about, certainly a program that, I feel very, very strongly about. And so do a whole lot of, but thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.